So, good morning all. So, this morning I would like to really kind of plant a seed or plant a stake of motivation. Motivation for the whole retreat. It's kind of our long-term investment plan, really what it is, our spiritual investment plan. Because, of course, death can come at any time. And to my mind, something arises, looms very, very large in my awareness, in my sense of being in the universe, perhaps even more than anything else, is continuity. Because any of us can die at any time. But I have an enormous aspiration to be able to continue my practice. You know, not have just be the notion of wandering around even as a human being on the planet with no dharma just completely freaks me out. Like, no. And so continuity. Well, it's definitely something within reach. It's not an unattainable ideal, but then it depends on us. And so how do we establish continuity through the course of a lifetime? That's big, but a lifetime, of course, is just a chapter, a very short period. But from now until enlightenment, what greater priority could be there? It'd be lovely to achieve enlightenment in this lifetime. It'd be lovely to achieve enlightenment within five lifetimes. But the most important thing, isn't it, at least from my perspective, it's radiantly clear. The most important thing is this complete continuity of practice from now until enlightenment. If that continuity is broken, samsara is a big place. And there's just an awful lot of places to wander around without direction. And many, many sentient beings are. And so, how do we then create our long-term investment plan? You know, investing our lives, multiple lifetimes. Bottom line is refuge. I think if we're here, I think we found our path, that we're really devoted to the path revealed by the Buddha. And then within that path, of course, there are multiple paths. There's a path to one's own liberation. There's a Mahayana path, the Bodhisattva path. There's Vajrayana. There's Dzogchen. All of these generally leading in the same direction, to be sure. But what is the path within the array of paths, methods, traditions within the Buddha Dhamma? What really speaks to your heart? There's no right answer here except for what is in your heart, what really draws you with a deep sense of conviction, of confidence, of inspiration and enthusiasm to continue on the path until its culmination. And so with that in mind, we're really looking, of course, at two things. Refuge. From now, not only until now, until death, but now until enlightenment. But then also for these teachings, since we're definitely going to Mahamudra, Mahamudra is definitely in the context of Vajrayana. And once again, as I said last night, there's obviously only one suitable motivation that is the good coupling or the pair to go with the wisdom of the Mahamudra, Dzogchen. Only one possible motivation is suitable. If the realization of Rigpa is ultimate bodhicitta, which it is, then obviously it has to go with relative bodhicitta, and that is what we all call bodhicitta. So within that in mind, what I'd like to do is to go to the four questions. I think probably all of you have heard them, at least by podcasts, the four vision quests. And generally this is, I presented it as a meditative cultivation of loving kindness for oneself with extension out to all the world. Of course, that's what it is. But this morning I'd really like to present it and share it with you in the mode of setting our motivation for the rest of this retreat. Okay, which means then that if there are again 50 people in the room, there will be 50 unique meditations coming up, because it's your heart's desire, it's your own aspirations, right? And so there'll be multiple aspects of this that are very, very personal, at the same time couched within very large and universal themes of achieving enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, by way of Mahamudra, by way of Dzogchen. So clearly, we wouldn't be here if we weren't aspiring for that. So on that theme then, please find a comfortable position, and I will guide the meditation. We'll begin every session, however, in the same way of striking this balance in body, speech, and mind between the sense of ease, of relaxation, and vigilance, clarity, alertness. It really is striking the key. So, as you've done, I imagine, many times before, settle your body in its natural state, imbued with the three qualities of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. Settle your speech, settle your respiration in its natural rhythm. And settle your mind in its natural state, relaxed, still, and bright. And we turn to the first question. And as a parallel, I'll simply comment that when one receives tantric empowerment, and in this virtual space of one's imagination, comes to the door of the central palace, and gazes upon the central deity, whoever that may be, often in the liturgy, the question comes from the central deity. What is it you wish? What do you want? As you seek empowerment. So that's the question now. What do you want? What is your vision of your own fulfillment, the realization of your highest ideals, the happiness that you seek? Bring it clearly to mind. And holding this vision in mind, your vision today of your own flourishing, imagine your own pristine awareness symbolically as a radiant orb of light in the center of your heart chakra, With every out-breath, arouse this aspiration. May I realize such happiness, such well-being. For your own sake, it's called Tibetan Ramde, may you fulfill your own sake, your own aspirations. As Shantideva says, if you don't dwell upon the benefits of bodhicitta for yourself, how will you ever develop it for others? So feel no qualms, no reservations about arousing this aspiration with every out-breath. May I find such happiness and cultivate its causes. And with every out-breath, as you arouse this aspiration of loving-kindness for yourself, imagine light, rays of light, flowing forth from this inexhaustible source at your heart. And with each out-breath, imagine this light filling your entire body and mind, your entire being, with a light of joy, a light of loving-kindness, purifying every element of your being. And breath by breath, imagine it being so here and now. Take fruition as your path, as we do in Vajrayana practice in general. Imagine here and now realizing such fulfillment. Then we turn to the second question, and that is, in order to realize such fulfillment, what would you love to receive from the world around you? We look to the world of sentient beings, especially to help us meet all of our mundane needs. And we look to the objects of refuge to provide us guidance and blessings on the path to genuine happiness, to perfect awakening. But more specifically, what would you love to receive from the world around you, from sentient beings, from the bodhisattvas and the buddhas, to help you realize your aspiration? And with each inhalation, arouse the loving aspiration, may I receive all that I truly need in terms of my mundane or hedonic needs, as well as the aid I need to follow this path to awakening. Arouse the aspiration, may I receive all that I need from moment to moment, day to day, lifetime to lifetime. And with each in-breath, imagine the light of kindness of sentient beings, the compassion of all the Buddhas flowing in upon you, meeting your every need, filling and saturating your body and mind. Now is the time for refuge. And imagine here and now receiving all that you truly need, moment by moment, every moment. Reality rising up to meet you. We turn to the third question, and that is, how would you love to transform, to mature inwardly in order to realize your highest aspiration of perfect enlightenment? From what obscurations, mental afflictions, and so on, would you love to be free? And with what virtues would you love to be richly endowed? So imagine your own evolution. Aspire for it. With every out-breath, once again, arouse the aspiration, may it be so. From the light at your heart, imagine this filling your body and mind, purifying all that is to be purified, and enriching all that is to be enriched. again, breath by breath, with each exhalation, imagine this transformation taking place here and now. Proceeding along the path to its culmination. And then we turn to the final question. Again, for your own sake, in order to imbue your own life with the greatest possible meaning, fulfillment, joy. In light of the fact that we are all entangled, all interrelated with each other, with all other sentient beings, what would you love to offer to the world around you in the short term and the long term, to those who are near and far? To be of greatest possible benefit. And again, with every out-breath, arouse the aspiration, may it be so. And imagine light cascading out from your heart, flowing out in all directions, above and below and all to all the sides. Imagine this light taking on form, manifesting as the good you would love to offer to the world, the service. Again, taking the fruition as the path. Imagine offering this right now and imagine it being received. Imagine breath by breath all sentient beings finding freedom from suffering and its causes. All sentient beings finding their own fulfillment, achieving perfect awakening. Imagine this here and now. And release all appearances, allowing them to dissolve back into the space of the mind. Release all aspirations. And for just a short time, let your awareness rest in its own nature, knowing itself. So in terms of bodhicitta, of course, the ideal is to so familiarize ourselves with this aspiration that it just is kind of like a current just flowing through every conscious moment, kind of the background. You want to go get a glass of water, you want to go to teachings, you want to go for a walk. We have a myriad of desires, many of them, you know, hopefully all of them are wholesome or at least neutral. But underlying all these specific desires, I want to do this, I want to do that, go there, do this, underlying all of that is the groundswell, is the baseline. And that is the desire of desires, for which all the other ones are derivative, is real bodhicitta. So it just, if you just kind of flow in that, you know, that that's there, then all the other desires will be fine. You know, any desire that is derivative of bodhicitta is definitely going to be thumbs up. Yeah, be fine, you know. So as much as you can, just sustain that throughout the whole course of the day. When you get to the point where you can sustain it right through your dream state, all the better. So that would be aspirationally in terms of our cognitive intelligence. You remember that, you know, bringing wise desires and intentions. And then in terms of cognitively, the baseline. Throughout the course of the day, we need to attend to this, putting our dishes back when we've finished our meals and so forth. Many things we need to attend to, of course. But again, baseline. That for many people, I think the baseline is rumination. And out of rumination, we get this done and that done and that done. But it's basically blah, blah, blah all day. You know? That's not healthy. That's not even sane, right? And so the baseline is being present in the present moment, present in your body, present with that in and out flow of the breathing. And this one, you know the mudra, my little mudra, homemade Alan Wallace mudra. Just the mudra, the symbol of your own awareness resting in its own place, like an unflickering candle flame. You know, so simple mudra. It crops up. I've seen it in Krishna iconography. I don't know what they're talking about, but maybe we're blood brothers, you know. Yeah. But just that abiding throughout the course of the day in that stillness. We're coming back to the same theme, and then we're finished. That stillness in the midst of activity. So the stillness in the midst of the movements, of the sensations of the breath throughout the body, the fluctuations, stillness and fluctuation. The stillness and the movements of your body seemingly moving out of the room and wherever you're going from here. The movements of thoughts, movement of activities, but in the midst of all of that, that stillness. That's a great giant leap forward to removing or withdrawing from our deeply ingrained habit of reification. Whenever there's reification, which is grasping onto the true existence of everything, the mind's always in motion. It's always in motion. It's reifying this, reifying that. I want that, don't want that. Hope for this, hope that doesn't happen. It's, you know, like a poor dog rummaging around a garbage dump, you know. Always in the here, never really satisfied, you know. Sit on your throne. And maintaining that, everything needs to be done, let it be done. Everything needs to be done. And nothing else. Be parsimonious, be stingy. And that is, do what needs to be done. But no meaningless activity. Do what needs to be done. And abide in your own stillness. Balance all the way. So today you'll start setting your daily schedule and so forth, getting a routine, getting kind of the lay of the land and so forth. So we have a couple of days. Today, tomorrow. Yeah, today and tomorrow. Today's Friday already, yeah? I think maybe today and tomorrow, I think. Talking, yeah? Maybe good. I think just, again, because we want to get to know each other. So today and tomorrow, talking at meal times. Otherwise, we are living in a contemplative environment, right? So as you're setting your daily schedule for, you know, the meditation periods throughout the course of the day, I won't reiterate what I said last night, but however many hours it is, to my mind, that's of secondary importance. If you can meditate 10 hours a day, great. If it's only 6, well, the real question is, what are you doing for all the other hours that you're not on the cushion, right? And so that's probably going to be more than the hours on the cushion. Maybe not. But it may be. In any case, it's a lot of hours, probably. They're not in formal practice. So the real question, it's basically the deal maker and the deal breaker of whether your practice is really flourishing, you're transforming, you're really deriving the maximum benefit from your formal practice. It's not how many hours. It's what are you doing the rest of the time? And the rest of the time when you're off the cushion, is that time supportive of your time on the cushion, or is it basically eroding, you know, what you got on the cushion? So on the cushion, you get composed. Off the cushion, you flake out, rumination, blah, 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 and scattering your practice to the winds, and then you try to retrieve it again. So kind of basically making a mess, cleaning up. You know, if that's the way it is, it's not going to be a whole lot of progress. But if you're really very composed in meditation, and then here'd be kind of the mudra of it. In meditation, you're composed. It's called unification, samadhi. It means composure, unification, really getting your act together. That's samadhi. So that's, you know, there are times we're kind of breathing in and you're on the cushion. And then breathing out, instead of going like this, it's more like this. Something like that, you know, if hands can show it. It's like this. You're holding your practice. Not really condensed, like on the formal meditation practice, but you're holding it at ground level, that base equilibrium, relaxed and clear, present, bodhicitta flowing and flowing, and your mindfulness cognitively engaged with that stillness of awareness and the movements of everything else. Okay? That's what really counts. If at the end of the 8 weeks you look back and say, well, I was, you know, I slept for 7 hours, 8 hours, whatever, and then I was pretty much practicing all day. And out of that all day, this was my number of hours on the cushion, then that will be an attitude of no regret. You won't regret a moment if that was it, yeah. So that's it. So enjoy your day, get settled, let's get all relaxed, and I'll see you this afternoon at 4:30. Yeah, and some of you, so we'll start this morning, and everybody knows where the office is, where, you know, they give me a little office for meetings. Everybody knows, yeah? Rhonda, can you tell them? Okay, you take that. So I'm going to take off. She's the boss now. So I'll see you soon. Ciao.